thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Now, I mentioned to Pastor George a few days ago some good news, and I wanted to wait to share this until we got here. But Faith Bible is the number one-day church for last year. And so we are so grateful for your compassion and generosity, and also for edging out a church in Dallas that is filled with cowboy fans. And having been to a number of Broncos games, I'm hoping that that competitive spirit will also play out with the offering today. Just kidding. Today is going to be a little different. It's going to be less a sermon, and instead we're going to give you some reports about how God is using Faith Bible and Convoy of Hope in America, Israel, and around the globe. And I've brought with me a few of our team members. Brian McCleese, some of you know him from overseeing the Rockies for Convoy of Hope, and he's going to share about our agriculture initiative, but also the work in Nepal following the disaster. And then Jeff Neeney, who was with your pastors in Israel, is going to give us a report on our work there. But before we watch a video of the work of Convoy of Hope in 2014, I wanted to just mention a personal testimony. Because a few weeks after I was last here, I started to experience dizzy spells. And the dizzy spells led to a lot of nausea, and I was pretty much confined to the bed for quite a while they performed all of these tests trying to find out the problem. But an MRI finally revealed that I had a tumor, a benign tumor, behind my right ear tied to the ear canal. And the good news is that the surgery was successful, but before they put me out, the surgeon asked, do you have any questions? And I said, yes. While you're in there, could you raise my IQ? That part was not successful. But I'm so grateful to your pastor and also Cheryl, because during some of the lowest moments, I would get a call from George and a text message just encouraging me. And the word encouragement literally means to put courage in, and I needed it. And so I'm so grateful to them. And then I was not well enough to lead the outreaches in Israel, and your pastor and Cheryl stepped in. And as you would imagine, with Cheryl leading, the group ran where Jesus walked. But this is one of my first weekends back, and I'm just grateful to God that I'm back in the pulpit, and especially this one. Pastor George asked me to share our story again, the story of how Convoy of Hope started. It was 1969. You'll see a picture up here of my family, my dad, my mom, siblings, our dog Buffy, cat Billy. And our dad was a pastor. And one evening in August, as he was driving down along with my mom, a freeway, a drunk driver slid across the divide and hit them head on, killing my dad instantly, and our mom, they literally had to pin her body back together again for her to survive. And I'll never forget the nightmare following this accident as we looked through the glass window into our mom's room. And she was so beaten up and broken, we didn't even recognize her. In fact, when she spoke my older brother's name, he collapsed to the ground right beside me. So there we stood, wondering what would happen next. Where would we get food, and who would possibly take in four young children? and compassionate, generous people like you heard our cries. And they provided hot meals every single day for 4 months as our mother began to recover. The only problem is that we had four kids and they would bring like 3 pork chops. But the 2 I had tasted pretty good. And then it was a question of who would take in these 4 kids. In this family, the Davises, as we sang earlier, that didn't have much, but they gave it all. They didn't have a big house. They lived in this trailer. And they invited us in, 2 families, 10 people, living in a small trailer. Our mom, as she got out of the hospital, they invited her in as well. And I'll never forget walking up to this trailer, wondering, would they really want us and keep us? And as we walked in the front door, Bill Davis was there, and he gave us all hugs, and he said, "You are with family, and this is your home." They didn't have a big house. They didn't have a big bank account, but they had big hearts. And because they were willing to share what they had, what the enemy had intended for defeat in my family, God has turned into victory. And now 70 million people have been served through Convoy of Hope in America and around the globe. Praise the Lord. I want to show you another photo. And this is one of the last photos before Bill Davis passed away a month ago. And so this weekend and this service, we're dedicating to Bill Davis. And his widow, LaVeda, is going to be watching. But because of his heart, God took my dad's mangled car, and now he's turned it into a fleet of Convoy of Hope trucks that are being deployed all over the world as we meet to provide help and hope to the least and the lost. Praise the Lord. Right now, Convoy of Hope is feeding 150,000 children every day, and you're going to hear from some of them. Children that don't have to go to bed hungry and can awaken with hope. A few months ago, I was with Tony Hall, the former U.S. Congressman and ambassador to the United Nations for food security. Now, I know I shouldn't be doing name dropping. Ronald Reagan once told me that. But Tony Hall said to me, he goes, "I hope you understand how important it is what you're doing and how important it is for churches to support this work. It's not only meeting a need where it's life and death, where it could be the only meal that these families receive in a day, but he said it's also a matter of national security, because the chief weapon that groups like ISIS are using, not just social media, they're using food. They're using clean water to gain the allegiance of families all over the Middle East." He said it is a literal tug of war right now for their lives and for their souls. Water, as we have discussed in previous years, water is one of the most precious resources on the globe. And it not only protects children from contracting contaminated diseases like cholera, but it also has the collateral benefits of protecting young women. In places like Africa, it's typically the young women that are having to venture out of the security of their village to find water. And too many of them are getting attacked, raped, and kidnapped. By providing water right in these villages, in these communities, we can make sure that young women have a safe, secure passage through life. I was sharing with Mike last night during dinner. When you're going to see the video of Nepal, our team's there, not only rescuing people, providing the emergency supplies, but without teams there, many of the families will go into buildings that are condemned, that are teetering on falling over, and you can see entire apartment buildings where hundreds of people die. So there are all these collateral benefits that come back to God using you and me in serving and also giving. Now, before Jeff Neeney and Brian come, we want to show you this video of Convoy of Hope's work last year that you helped to make happen. Thank you.
There's enough food in the world to feed everyone on this planet. In many places where food is scarce, it's just a matter of getting the food there. We're experts at doing that. We're also convinced that the key to breaking the cycles of economic, physical, and spiritual poverty starts with our Children's Feeding Initiative. Countless times in 2014, we saw how these basics of life transformed children, families, and entire communities. For Convoy of Hope, 2014 was about laying the groundwork for our long-range plan to ensure the futures of hundreds of thousands of people trapped in the cycle of poverty. By offering nutritious meals, clean drinking water, supplies, education, medicine, and care, we create a baseline to offer communities our women's empowerment and agricultural initiatives. Using these three tools, entire communities become sustainable and poverty is shattered. In addition to fighting hunger and poverty around the world, Convoy of Hope has continued to serve survivors of natural disasters and struggling families in rural America. ...2014 was a pivotal year for Convoy of Hope. You, our supporters, have been absolutely essential in providing hope to each of the people we serve. Hope for the children in our feeding program who won't have to go to bed hungry. Hope for disaster survivors who need a glimmer of relief after they've lost everything. And hope for the working poor families across the country who are struggling to put food on the table. For the more than 70 million people we have been able to serve since 1994, you are hope, and hope is everything. Thank you.
Hello again. I'm Brian McLeese. I happen to live in Loveland, Colorado. So we're not just united in compassion, we're united in orange. It's fun to drive down to the big city this morning from Loveland. I do want to mention some things about our disaster response in Nepal and our agricultural program. I also want to mention that we have some copies left. The first service didn't clean them all out, but Dave's written a book. It's just chock full of more inspirational stories from his life and research, and they're $10. I just want you to know that $10 goes to support our internship program, training young people in ministry of compassion. So his book, Relentless, is available, and we'd love to chat with you and hear your inspirational stories afterwards, if you'd like. I wanted to mention that in the last two or three years, Convoy of Hope has procured the services of a young PhD agronomist, Dr. Jason Struble, to lead the charge in developing our agricultural program. So what that means is we have our very own soil science nerd, and we lovingly call him Dr. Dirt. He's really excited about things like microbes and pig poop. So in his research that was conducted over the last 3 years, beginning, I believe, in 2012, his research was shared at the American Society for Agronomy and highlighted a correlation between the applied learning and the implemented agricultural practices that follow programs like his, which increase the yield of crops but also their resiliency. In his research, we honed in on what we would begin. It involves a training, it involves retooling, it involves the sharing of seed, and also local agronomists who can continue to follow up on the program. But the exciting part underneath it is everything we do is conducted through local churches. So the training and so forth happens through the missions agencies, local churches, so that the resiliency of the spiritual harvest is maintained, because many of these farmers are coming to know Jesus. And over 35% of them are women. And they're good with their money and how they reinvest. And part of their training is an agreement to take 10% of the increased yield and sow it back into feeding the children through our children's feeding initiatives locally. So there's not just the diminishing of dependency from outside help, but there's transformation of the local community. And you might be surprised that there's literally been over 2,500 farmers trained in Haiti alone, so that that 10% of their crop has provided this last year 3 million meals for our children's feeding initiatives. Isn't that cool? So I did, too, want to update you a bit, but just to highlight that part about the resiliency of the spiritual harvest. That's really what Convoy's about. In this report on Nepal, I was just thinking back, the last time I spoke to you, we were highlighting the typhoon in the Philippines. Remember Haiyan last year? And we were able, in that moment, because of the nature of the tragedy, to pre-position 3 million meals before the storm even hit the Philippines on 5 different islands. It's a bit more challenging when we're navigating the response in an earthquake, because that's obviously not as predictable. And yet, since April 25th and that 7.8 magnitude earthquake, we have been able to mobilize local volunteers in country, over 600 of them, train them in response, and send them out to 80 different communities in Nepal because of what you're doing through your One Day to Change the World. Thank you. So in that response, over 5,000 family units have been served. 435,000 meals have been given out. But I think the long-term illustration in this response is that in countries where there is not freedom to share the gospel like you and I share, we're able to go in and demonstrate the love and the ministry of Jesus in his kingdom, and in those moments, be able to ask, can we pray with you? So there's a sense of they're going to be with us because there's local faces involved in the training. And Jesus' hands and feet will remain. And because of your commitment to share in One Day to Feed the World, you're bringing change to the world in tangible ways where his light is seen dimly. It's being brilliantly displayed through the local church. It's not just internationally. As you recall, in 2013, September 10th, 11th, and 12th, it just continued to rain. How many of you had friends that were affected by the flooding? Because of your partnership at that moment, we were able to mobilize over 800 people up and down the Front Range, working hand in hand with local disaster management, meant that church folk were mobilized in the first wave that went into Lyons. And in that, we had over 108 homes that we mucked out and had opportunity to share and to serve in that devastation. Did you know that that was the largest airlift disaster response since Katrina that came out of Estes Park? Since Katrina, second largest airlift. I know, because the helicopters went right over my house in Loveland. We lived really near the Big Thompson River. And for 3 weeks, I had to go to Fort Collins to get to the other half of Loveland. And yet, because of that moment, we were tied together. And the art of neighboring, familiar phrase here, was seen again and again and again. But it underscored something locally, that just my everyday, ordinary life, my walking around life, my going to the gas station life, could make a difference globally, locally and globally. It was illustrated in this. My 87-year-old mom came home one day and she said, "Brian, I feel like the Lord's just calling us to adopt this little family that owns the gas station here in Loveland on Highway 34. They're Hindu. So she said, and we've been invited to share that with them in English, second language, and go to their daughter's wedding. Could you drive me? We went to a Hindu wedding, and wouldn't you know, the building they rented for the wedding was the very facility that we had deployed out of to respond to Lions. There were over 300 people at the wedding from Nepal. And I got to share with them about disaster response. We became Facebook friends. So when you guys shared in that, you're also sharing it forward. And you're helping me lead my little gas station attendant to Christ. Every time I go to pump gas, Ben runs out, says, "Oh, Mr. Brian, thank you so much. I have 60 relatives that have been made homeless." And it's as if God had a plan. Thank you for allowing your one day to change the world.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you, Brian. My name's Jeff Neeney, and before I talk about Israel, let me talk just a little bit about, well, Israel. I got to tell you, I've been there twice in the last year with your pastors. Whew. They have so much energy. It is unreal. How many of you have been on an Israel tour from here? If you have not, you have got to make plans to go. I've been there 9 times now, and it was literally my favorite. These two were my favorite trips of all because of getting to spend time with them. Cheryl is the best guide. She's the best Israeli guide for a non-Israeli that I've ever seen in my life. She was phenomenal. But really, the reason we were there, we were invited by an organization called Empowered 21 to be the compassion arm of their event that was held in Jerusalem this year. They invited us to oversee that. Now, your pastors and actually you through this church played a very important role in that. And I think you're going to be excited to see what some of those results were as a result of that partnership. Our first task was to find compassion organizations that had the same DNA as Convoy of Hope and Faith Bible Chapel. And that wasn't easy, but because in addition to that same DNA, they also had to have capacity. They had to have the capability of being able to take this influx of volunteers that week, go out into the communities, and really accomplish something that was beyond what they had ever done before. We were able to identify 8 compassion organizations that were already working in the country, already doing great things. And then we were able to come alongside them and resource them. And that was the really cool part. We were able to provide volunteers, to provide product and resources and expertise and funding so that they could take what they were already doing and make it even bigger, make it even better, reach even more people. Now, those projects were cool. They packed over 2,000 pounds of food for distribution to families, packed 400 kits for Holocaust survivors. They cleaned and painted a community center. And one really neat thing, we assembled and distributed 200 lone soldier care kits and were able to actually go out and distribute those to soldiers on an army base. Towards the end of that time period, what we did was we went into an Arab neighborhood and just loved on people. We cleaned up their neighborhood for them. We distributed food and clothing to some of the neighbors that were in need. And it was really just an amazing, amazing experience. But really the capstone for the whole week was on that final Saturday. We went to a church in Bethlehem that we had identified, this really great Arab Christian church right in the middle of Bethlehem. And we went in there, and these folks have just a wonderful heart. They're reaching out to their community, they're loving on people, and just doing such a great job. So we came together with them and put this outreach on, and nearly 200 guests from Bethlehem, Jericho, and Jordan came, and they were met by fellow Arabs and a contingent of ORU students, and we just loved on them. And that was the amazing thing, and the thing that they appreciated most, because so often they get this, hand them a tract, tell them, Jesus loves you and we do too. And that wasn't what this day was about at all. This day was about treating them as guests of honor and just loving on them, sharing them the love of Christ. They received haircuts, makeovers, family portraits, children's activities. I got a big kick, you may have seen it in the video, of the one lady. She was getting her portrait taken. She was this single lady, and she's standing, she's doing the fashion pose. It was so cool because these people were loving it. They were giving the women roses, and to see the smiles on their faces that day was phenomenal. But you know what? The best part of all, we got to see that day four Arab Muslims come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can you give God a hand for that? Phenomenal day, phenomenal day. And the commitment that it takes to follow through on that commitment to Christ. We just need to keep those folks in prayer. And you've seen through the reports today that one of the things that Convoy of Hope focuses on is results. And let me give you an example. We've been honored to receive the Charity Navigators 4-star award for 12 years in a row now. And only 1% of charities in America can say that. And what they do, this is a watchdog organization, and they examine charities and they look at your transparency. They look at, do you do what you say you're going to do? Are you transparent with your money? How do you handle your affairs? Things like that. And so we've been blessed for 12 years to receive that 4-star rating. And that's, for us, that's because of the results and the attention that we pay to results. And really, it's because it's important to us to be able to look donors in the face and say, you know what? We did what we said we were going to do with your gifts. And people are being changed physically and they're being changed spiritually as a result. We want to be able to look back at a community, a situation, a person, and see that a measurable impact has taken place. And not too long ago, actually probably 4 or 5 years ago, we met this young girl in the Philippines. We have a great feeding program over there and have been there for many years. But we met this little girl, and we had the chance to document her story, talk to her about what was going on in her life, how the food helped her, things like that. And about a year ago, we went back and we found that same little girl. And we were able to talk to her again and see the changes that have taken place in her life. And I'd like to introduce you to her. I'd like you to meet this young girl named Kate.
Yes, sometimes I go to bed, I have no food in my stomach. If I don't have enough food, I can't concentrate in my studying, and I can't understand what my teacher was saying to me. Thank you, because the food that they give to us will not be masasayang, will not be wasted.
I'm turning 16 this November. I'm in college. I'm taking up hotel and restaurant services. And by God's grace, we have our food now. I'm so grateful, and I will be forever grateful that Convoy of Hope is as a sponsor of our church for me to continue my study and have my meal. Sometimes before, I'm thinking that we're the most poor people in the world, but as I'm looking around here at our community, I saw a lot of people, they were more poor than us. I'm studying hard now for my future, and someday I promise to myself I'm going to help them, help my community here, our community and our church. That, and I will someday become the sponsor of our church, like you guys. So thankful.
Isn't she beautiful? I would appreciate the worship team joining me as we bring our time together to a close, and then Pastor Mike is going to come up and lead us in this special offering. This offering, one day to feed the world, one day that will change the world, as we give back to the Lord what's equal to one day's wages or more to make a difference. And last year, we discussed the whole Hebrew concept of zakut. And zakut means that we give out of a love for God. We give by aligning our lives and our priorities with His to help the poor, to reach the lost. And there are so many ways that we can do that, including serving. And if you are interested in participating in one of the outreach teams with Convoy of Hope, we have a sign-up sheet at the table, and we will send you more information. But we had a team this past week that returned from Nicaragua, and this story, it just was so powerful, of a young boy named Angel, and he was living in the dumps of Nicaragua. And a volunteer noticed that he had this coffee canister that was worth about a dollar. And we tell the volunteers not to hand out money to the kids, but she felt like she should do something. And so she purposely dropped a dollar bill, expecting Angel to take that dollar and run. Instead, moments later, she felt a tug on her shirt, and she looked down, and it was Angel. And he was reaching up with that dollar bill, and he said, "Ma'am, you dropped this. You need to be careful." Those are some of the opportunities that you can experience as you serve in these outreach mission trips. But generosity, as your pastor and I have discussed, there is a movement of generosity in our church here and throughout the country that is unprecedented. It's a generosity, first of all, today that's going to meet needs. This money's not going to go into some black hole. You've seen where it went last year, where it's going to go this year. Generosity is also going to bring good news to the poor. We know there are many countries that are closed to the gospel, but through prayer, but also through compassion, those become the doors that Jesus walks through, and many, many find hope in Him. We're seeing this right now in Ethiopia through our women's empowerment program, where we have over 1,000 women right now being trained, half of which are Muslim. So they're getting not only help, but hearing about Jesus. And as we give today, we need to realize that we're giving not out of guilt. This is an offering of thanksgiving. It's us saying, "God, thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you that I can feed my kids, my grandkids. Thank you that I have clean, safe water. And out of my heart of gratitude, I want to give back one day's wages. Thank you, Lord. And finally, as we give, the Bible says this: this, you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let me just put it this way. If God can get it through us, he'll give it to us. And how many know that the Bible says that God is looking to and fro for people that have his heart and that will trust him? And we're seeing that people are giving not just cash. We're seeing stocks, possessions like we see in Acts 4 that can be liquidated and turned into resources to help the poor and to reach the lost. I was just with a business executive this week, and he said, I've spent my whole life consuming and hoarding, and now I want to give it away. And I'm seeing this, where people are realizing that they no longer want to be the richest person in the cemetery. They want to leave a legacy of hope. And one of the best examples of this is the Davises. And it was a few years ago when we held this reunion in Concord, California, the place where our dad pastored, but also where he was killed and our mother was debilitated. We had this wonderful reunion, people that attended our dad's church, people that helped us launch Convoy of Hope. And there was this family there. They thought they were there just to enjoy the celebration, but they were the finale. It was the Davises. We brought them up on the stage, and a year after this event, somebody sent us this photo. And I want you to take a good look at the face of Bill Davis, the richest man I know. And after this photo was taken, he turned to me, and this is what he whispered. He said, I never knew our love for your family would result in helping so many people. And friends, as we give today, you'll never know. We'll never know. We'll never know the Kates, the Angels. We'll never know these women, Muslim women, that are being touched in Ethiopia, places right now in Syria where we're ministering in the refugee camps. They will not know you. You will not know them. But God knows. God knows. And Leveda, thank you. Because today, Bill Davis, he knows. Thank you.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.